First Chronicles chapter 12. First Chronicles chapter 12. I started this message last week verse 32, and of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. I started a message last week, understanding the times. We are living in some pretty chaotic times. For only the second time in American history, a sitting president has been impeached by congressional vote in the House of Representatives. Everywhere I go, someone brings up the Y2K problem that is approaching with the new millennium. The computer bug that everybody fears is going to shut down life as we know it for a time. Everything's run on computers. Just about everything. And last week we looked at some of the characteristics of this uncertain time in which we live. It's a time of moral laxity, where anything seems to be fine and dandy, no matter how evil or immoral it is. People are willing to justify it. It's a day and age of superficial religious profession, where people are religious yet don't have any power behind their religious profession. It's a day of doctrinal ignorance, of ecumenical tolerance, where nobody stands for what is true or right because they're afraid that they might offend people or disrupt unity. Listen, you can't sacrifice truth on the altar of compromise and expect to have biblical unity. We live in an age of political unrest, confusion. Look all around you. America right now is in turmoil. Democrats versus Republicans. It's up in the air about what's going to happen to our president. Then go yonder to the Middle East. We've just finished bombing Iraq for Saddam Hussein's lunacy. The Arabs and the Israelites are continuing their warfare. The Chinese are mounting, they're growing farther and farther into communism and dictatorship, away from any form of democracy. We're living in an age of political unrest all over the world. It's a day of unsurpassed materialism in our society. People are living for the almighty dollar. It's an age of pleasure seeking and entertainment, where the things of this world have distracted people's minds to the point where they don't consider eternity in light of what they're doing. Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And we live in an age, the times that we're living in are characterized by the traditional family unit being decimated and destroyed. That's the characteristics of the times. Now, I want to examine this morning what do these times require out of us? The age in which, can you, as an individual, whether you're 10 or 16 or 40 or 80, can you as an individual make a difference in the times in which we're living? I say absolutely. But in our text it said these men had understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. I'm afraid that most of the prophecy mongers of our day are getting people all stirred up over all of the things that are going on and all of the events that we're seeing taking place in the end time. And yet they're not telling people what they ought to do. These times require men and women who are determined to do what is right, what is noble, what is honorable, and what is moral, regardless of the cost. Men and women who are willing to live and govern their lives by the unchangeable standard of thus saith the Lord. We need people who will stand on the authority of God's Word without flinching, without compromising. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. That's what the times require. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. That gauntlet was laid down by Joshua thousands of years ago to the children of Israel. The same thing needs to be laid down today. Choose you this day. The times require men and women who will take a decided direction for truth and righteousness. He said, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Pretty decided direction, isn't it? Men, take this solemnly to heart this morning. You and I are responsible for our families. You must take the lead in spirituality and determination, in desire to live for the Lord. We need some men like Joshua today who will stand and say, with all that is within me, I'm going to serve the Lord. These times require parents who are committed to training their children in righteousness and providing a godly example for them to follow. Folks, taking our kids to church is a noble, truthful, honorable thing. But it's not enough. Just making sure that they're here for Sunday school and worship is not enough. Our lives must be characterized by the investment of truth. We need to make daily deposits of truth and invest them in their lives. By the way we conduct ourselves, by the attitudes that we have. God has called upon us to teach them truth with our lips as well as our life. What a solemn responsibility. You have been given charge with those of you that have children with the formation of a human being. Their character, their attitudes, their way of life. It's been given into your hands, Ed. It's a responsibility that you are now charged with. Those of us that our children are growing up. You know, it's easy when they're that age, isn't it? All you got to do is change their diapers and feed them and play with them. But when they get to be 13 and 11 and 9 and 16 and 18, still under our authority, yet oftentimes not understanding everything, we need to continually provide for them answers that will stand the test of time. Truths that are immutable. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." You know what the expression of that love extends toward? "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Individually as parents, you need to take in the word so that you can distribute it to your children and deposit it in their lives, planting it so that they can reap the everlasting benefits of truth and righteousness. "And thou shalt teach them diligently." You know what that word diligent means? With great earnestness, earnestness, if that's a word, and effort. "Teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." The times require parents who are committed to building their lives, the lives of their children, in righteousness. Proverbs 23 and verse 23. Can you give this kind of instruction to your children and mean it? "Buy the truth and sell it not. Once you get it, don't compromise and give it away for any price." You've got to be practicing that in your life before you can teach it to your children effectively. Gone are the days and the attitudes of, you know, do as I say, not as I do. That better be gone from your outlook. You better be doing it and giving them the example to do it as well. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The Father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. Hey, kids, do you want to make your parents happy? Walk in righteousness. It'll make your mom and dad rejoice. Last night we were at a family gathering, and one of Tammy's brothers came up, and we only see him about twice a year. And he said, "Man," he said, "your kids are so well behaved." And I thought, he doesn't live with us. But you know, that made me rejoice that someone saw that we're trying to invest something in our kids. Now, I told him, I said, "Well," I said, "I'm glad they're acting good tonight." And as a general rule, they do pretty well. And I thank God for that. But there's a reason behind it. Kids just don't act right on their own. You got to give them a little incentive. You know? When ours were little, we gave them a lot of incentive. When they did wrong. Now, it's got to the point now where we don't need to discipline them in that respect like we used to, because they know now what's coming and they avoid it. But it requires training at a young age. Godly examples. Look what it says. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. That's the key to the whole thing. Parents, are you committed to your children? We need to return to godly discipline. We need to expect obedience and respect and love from our children. We need to teach them a personal responsibility and accountability before God. And we need to teach them a respect for authority. That's what the times require. The times also require some young people who will stand up for what is right and true more than what is popular. We need some young teenage girls who will be virtuous. We need some young men who will go against the tide of popular opinion, who will not follow a multitude to do evil, even though your friends may say, "Well, you're a chicken," or "You're a mama's boy." We need young men who will say, "I'm going to do what's right no matter what the rest of my friends are doing. No matter what the rest of them, where they're going, I'm going to stand by what is true, what I know the Bible teaches, what my parents have taught me." We need some young men like David who will be able to say with conviction, "Is there not a cause?" Isn't it interesting? We got a David and Daniel sitting right down here. And you know what? David, as a young man, that young shepherd boy, he slew Goliath, the enemy of Israel. It was a young man that stood in the gap. Daniel, when he was a young man, served God faithfully in the midst of an ungodly empire, the Babylonian captivity. We need some young men who will stand for what's right. I wonder, 10 years from now, the young men that we have in this church, what are you going to turn out to be? I challenge you, Zach. I challenge you, Josh and Aaron and Daniel and Kobe and David and Josh. Be true. Stand for what's right. Live for God. Make a difference in this world. You know, a dead fish just floats with the current. It's a live one that can swim against it. Be alive for God. Serve Him. No matter what it costs you. The times require a higher standard of personal holiness. Separation from sin. Consecration to God. God's people, you and I, need to have a greater urgency and zeal in the pursuit of being more like Jesus Christ. In our attitudes, in our habits, in our conversation, we need to be more like the Lord. That should be our one desire, is to know Him, to be like Him, to have His mind operating within us. We need to set our priorities in order with God at the top of the list. His commandments as our chief delight. But it requires a choice. A daily determination and choice of the direction that your life is going to take. The times require some men and women who will obey what 2 Corinthians 6 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, with the devil? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." You got to depart from what defiles and corrupts, and you have to embrace that which cleanses and purifies. Holiness boils down to loving what God loves and hating what God hates. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, or verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You got to understand the times that you're living in, what they require. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a people zealous of good works. You know what it means to be zealous, don't you? It means to hustle. I mean, to go all out for God. That's what the times require. Tell you all something else the times require. Doctrinal soundness and stability in our churches and in our pulpits. We need preachers who are committed to feeding people with the Word of God. There's too much fluff, too much superficial banter that's coming from pulpits in our day. Too much entertainment and not enough doctrinal truth to provide stability and strength and encouragement. Too many preachers are telling people their opinions or funny stories, when what we need is to get back to teaching and preaching the Word of the living God. I mean, you know what? There are a lot of sources of entertainment for you. I tell my kids, sometimes they grumble about coming to church. It's not no fun. Listen, everything about life's not fun. You know? This is to be instructed, to be fed, to be encouraged, how to walk in a way that's right with God. I mean, you got a lot of other days in the week to be entertained. And you can go a lot of other places where you can be a whole lot more entertained than listening to a loudmouthed Baptist preacher. But by the grace of God, what I determine to do every week is to prepare messages that will instruct you in righteousness, convict you of sin, encourage you in the work of the Lord. I want to give you a diet that'll build you up and strengthen you and feed you. I want you to know what you believe, why you believe it. I don't want this church to be blown about by every wind of doctrine. We need preachers to get back preaching what's true and stop catering to what people want to hear. Too much of that going on. God help the preacher who is so lily-livered and so weak that he won't preach against sin and won't exalt righteousness. They're cowards who won't preach the whole counsel of God. And I want to teach you all the truth of the Word of God. I want to challenge you from the Word to live right and to do right. And I pray that you're doing that as a member of this church. I'm not into the ecumenical movement. I am not in for compromising. The Bible says in Romans 16, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies, and with simple words deceive the hearts of the simple. I'm not into joining hands with people who want to teach and preach salvation by works. It's not in the Bible. And I'll not stand with them. The times require fervent prayer for our president, for our nation. Josh asked me at the breakfast table this morning, or no, it was Aaron. I'm telling you, kids, they pick up on stuff. He looked at me this morning, he said, Dad, do you like our president?
I thought, what kind of question is that? I looked at him, I said, no. But that has nothing to do with what my responsibility is. We're to pray for those that are in authority. I pray that God will grant him repentance, that he'll grant our nation repentance for the sin that is being so easily swept under the rug. And you know what? Judgment has to begin at the house of God with you and I. Times require obedience to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. You all know it. I've preached this so many times you probably haven't memorized. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now let me tie this up with a practical application. I've shown you the characteristics of our times in light of Bible fact. If you're lost this morning, do you understand that you're living in a time of great spiritual danger? Literally, you don't know from one day to the next if you're going to be here. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't know what kind of serious illness may befall you. You don't know if today may be your last day on planet Earth. And even if you do stay around, look at all of the uncertainty that surrounds our world. You need a rock to latch onto. You need an anchor for your soul. You need peace in the midst of turmoil and tribulation. And it can only be found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There is nothing more wonderful than to have the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit and to know that Jesus is your personal Lord, that He saved you from your sins and cleansed you through His blood and rose again for you to give you eternal life. There's nothing more important in all the world than that. I plead with you this morning, if you're lost, look to Jesus Christ for life. Repent of your sin. Throw away your pride. Do away with your self-righteousness. Cast yourself at the mercy of God and say, have mercy on me, a sinner. Because you can't save yourself. You have to trust in Him. Don't continue on in your darkness and rebellion against God. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Save people. Realize that right now is the time for you to act. I fear that too many of us are sleeping spiritually. The Bible says in Romans 13:11, knowing that it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting,
not in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Get serious about serving God. Today, do it. Start reading your Bible, praying, witnessing, walking with God, making deliberate choices for righteousness in your everyday life. That's what the times require. Our time is short. The night cometh when no man can work. Let us be zealous in the spread of the gospel. Remember what I told you, zealous means the hustle. Are you getting out and telling people about Jesus Christ, and then are you living a life before their eyes that demonstrates to them that you've truly been changed? That's what the times require. I don't know who the elect are. I don't even know where they are. But I know this. I know it's my responsibility and your responsibility to preach the gospel to every creature. And you know what? The times require that we be zealous about the business of the Lord. We need some men who understand the times and who know what Israel ought to do. What we ought to do. How are you going to take this message home? Say, well, that sure was a good message for Joe. He needed that. Or will you say, man, I tell you what, I need to get my house in order. I need to examine myself. I need to apply this to my life. That's what the times require. May God give us grace not to just hear these messages, but to actually do what's right and what's true. If you're lost, you don't know the Lord, and right now your heart's filled with uncertainty and fear, there is forgiveness of sin through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a peace that passes all understanding in knowing Him. And I'm so glad I know Him, that I belong to Him, that I can say I am my beloved's and His desire is towards me. I hope that you know that in your heart.